Again, I want to thank all of you for coming here this morning and those who join us through live streaming. You give an incredible witness to our faith and to love for the Lord and to the dignity of human life, to protecting life from conception to natural death. Today, the church celebrates the feast of St. James, one of the apostles. I would wonder what Jesus was thinking when this mom brings the two kids up, the ultimate mom and dad, right? The soccer mom and dad. They want their kids to win the game, no matter what, right? I've been in parish work on sidelines of many of CYO games, and all you hear from the parents is, you could do it, you could do it. And she brings these kids up and says, I want them to sit on your right and your left. I want them to be up there in the first row. And Jesus says to her, really? Really? She said, he probably really said to her, honey, you don't know what you're asking. You have no clue. And then he asked them a question, these two young men. Can you drink from the cup I'm going to drink? And they enthusiastically, they say yes. I don't think they knew what was in the cup. And then he said to them, what I'm sure they remembered later, from the cup I drink, you will indeed drink. You will indeed drink. And it's not what you might think right now that you're going to drink. You will indeed drink. And there began the journey of the apostle, the one who was sent. Today we celebrate St. James, who was sent. What the word actually means, right? To be an apostle is to be one who is sent. And Jesus makes it very clear that what will happen in their lives, sitting on the right and sitting on the left, Jesus says to him, that is above my pay grade. That's above my pay grade. That's up to the Father. That's up to the Father. But I know that these apostles eventually did understand that life would ask them to give the ultimate witness, which was to become a martyr, to choose between the life of the resurrected Lord or denying him, one or the other. It became really A or B. There was no kind of middle ground, especially for them at that moment. And all the apostles then eventually, they drank of the cup. They died the death of a martyr, of a witness to the world. And today we honor one of them. It's great for me to gather with you today. Today, Bishop Brennan and I, he's now the Bishop of Columbus, we celebrate 8 years of Episcopal ministry. We were ordained by Bishop Murphy on this day 8 years ago. And it's great to gather with you to celebrate the Eucharist. And if there's one thing that I have learned, that I'm sure the apostles definitely learned, and that I actually repeat over and over again, and it will become a broken record. You've probably heard it already, but I'm going to say it again and ask you to repeat it with me again, actually. It's a small little phrase, and I ask you to think about it, reflect on it, because each part of it actually is a great reflection. Never underestimate the power of the Spirit of God working in you, through you, and despite you. I'm going to repeat it one more time, and then I'm going to ask you to repeat it with me. Never underestimate the power of the Spirit of God working in you, through you, and despite you. Repeat it once with me. Never underestimate the power of the Spirit of God working in you, through you, and despite you. I like the despite you part. The apostles certainly understood that, right? They didn't start off being all the best witnesses in the world either. And that's why they're very consoling to me, as I'm sure they are to you, because they were far from perfect. Throughout the public ministry of Jesus, oftentimes they just didn't get it right. They were always a little bit like off. They get caught. Peter gets an A on the quiz, but then he has problems. One day Jesus is walking with them, and he had just told them about his dying, suffering, and death, and resurrection. And he sees that they're talking, that they're like arguing. And he says, "What are you talking about?" I'm sure Jesus thought that they might be talking about what he just told them. They weren't. They were talking about who would be first, who would be the greatest. Like Muhammad Ali, remember that? Who's the greatest? That's what they were talking about. They always seem not to get it right. And at the end, you know, in the moment of Jesus dying on the cross, they basically disappeared. They ran for the hills. It was actually the women who stayed. God bless you. You stuck it out. We men, we disappeared. We ran for the hills. But the Lord worked with his Spirit in them, through them, and despite them. And the seeds, their blood, the seeds of them as martyrs, became the seeds of the foundation of the kingdom of God, of the church. And so never underestimate the work of the Spirit in you, through you, and despite you, as you strive to protect and defend and raise your prophetic voice for the defense of life. Maybe day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, march to march, gathering at one prayer place and another, maybe you might not see immediate results. But don't underestimate how God works in and through you, despite you. Never underestimate the power of your prayer and your love. This past, last November, the bishops once again reaffirmed that life is the preeminent issue that we need. There's lots of issues that are important. Of course there are, right? Of course there are. But if we can't recognize that the basis of everything really is life, that's preeminent, then it really doesn't matter, right? Lots of things are important in our lives. You know, we know that, right? We know that. It's important that all of us eat, right? There's breakfast, there's lunch, and dinner, right? Lunch isn't more important than dinner than is breakfast at the end of the day. The reality is that you need to eat. But to why? There's a real purpose to eating. It is to sustain life. It's ultimately geared to sustain life. What is the preeminent need of us human beings? To sustain life. That's what we do while we breathe, and why we eat, and why we rest, and why we run and exercise, is to sustain life. I'd like to finish with a quote from Pope Francis. In his second encyclical, Laudate Si, which talks about the creation and how we have to take care of our world. And this is what he says. Our relationship with the environment can never be isolated from our relationship with others and with God. Otherwise, it would be nothing more than a romantic individualism dressed up in ecological garb, locking us into a stifling eminence. Since everything is related, concern for the protection of nature is also incompatible with the justification of abortion. How can we genuinely teach the importance of concern for other vulnerable beings, however troublesome or inconvenient they may be, if we fail to protect a human embryo, even when its presence is uncomfortable and creates difficulties? If personal and social sensitivity towards the acceptance of the new life is lost, then other forms of acceptance that are valuable for society also wither away.